You guys sound so good this morning. I love it. I am so glad that you are here today. It's wonderful to be together, to worship, and your presence here is a blessing to those around you. You may not be aware of that. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your desire to be here today. And I'm praying for your life. I'm praying for you as you seek to know Christ, and I hope that together we can grow closer to the Lord. I want to say thank you to Justin Hatfield. Justin preached for me last week and made it possible so that my family and I were able to stay last week. We never had been to the HEB retreat camp before, and if you haven't been, I'm going to go ahead and encourage you right now. Make plans to go next year. Wow, it's a beautiful place, the Frio. I mean, come on. How many of y'all been? You've seen the Frio River, right? How many of you wish you were at the Frio right now? Be honest. Right, I'm right there with you. Absolutely gorgeous out in God's creation. But let me tell you something even better about it. It's so good to be together with God's people. It's so good to see families. It's so good to see the children and the kids. I loved being with the kids last week, and it was great. Our kids are not that young anymore. They're not as sweet and cute anymore, and they don't smell as good as they used to whenever they were younger, and all of those kinds of things. We are blessed, and we're thankful for you. We're going to be starting a series today on prayer, and we're going to be staying in this for the next several weeks. You know, one of the things that was just an astounding or an outstanding thing that I loved about Hillcrest before we even came here was how fervent this church was in prayer, especially during that searching time as the church was searching for a minister. The prayers of this church, you know, it's an amazing thing. Prayer is an amazing thing, and I was touched by the prayers. Many of you, the day that we were here, our first day officially as the minister's family, Heather and I were just crying as we read all of these prayers. We were given prayer journals, and we're just reading through these prayers. But the very best part was the prayers of the children, which now, thanks to my wife's help, are hanging up in my office. If you haven't been to my office, you don't have to even come see me. Say, I want to see these children's prayers, okay? You'll be blessed to do that. And see those. But I was touched by the prayers of this church. I'll say a little bit more about that in just a minute, but let's have a short video together as we introduce the topic of prayer this day. I think sometimes one of the challenging things about prayer, even just from that little video there, sometimes prayer can be a little overwhelming because we don't always know what are the words that God is wanting from us, or what's the right kind of prayer, or what about when I don't feel like praying, or maybe I'm upset with God, or I'm upset with the circumstances that are going on in my life, or I feel like God's not listening. And so sometimes prayer itself, even for believers. Prayer can almost become a burden in our life, and it can be very easy for it to kind of evaporate. And what I mean by that is, how do you know whether or not I've been praying this week? I mean, it's not like something you can, it's not an outward visible thing when we're talking about prayer. And so you have to appreciate the fact that Jesus Himself offers teaching on prayer. And so that's what we're going to be looking at, starting with today, specifically looking at this text together in Luke chapter 11, 1 through 4. Let's go ahead and read this text together, and you can follow along in your Bibles or follow along with me on the screen. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Teach us to pray. Something that I wonder about is, do we sometimes not pray because we don't feel like we need to? Have you thought about how much technology has changed the way that we do some things? How many of you still have a map in your car? There was a time where you always had, okay, good, we've got some good old faithfuls, right? Maybe I should ask this. How many of you here have never owned a map? I bet there are some, especially, I'm not going to call out stereotype any age groups as I look to my left over here in our college age. But, you know, think about this. Used to, if you were going to travel somewhere, you made sure, A, you mapped it out. You might have even taken a marker, right, a highlighter, and marked exactly the path that you were going to take. If you were traveling to another state, you would probably buy a map of that state. Or maybe you bought one of those atlases that had a map, you know, for all the states, right? If you're a big lover of traveling or that kind of thing. But you had to have that with you. And how much has that changed for us? Whenever Heather and I first got married, she's my co-pilot right beside me. And she, you know, she has a much prettier voice than Siri, too, by the way, or Tom or any of those others. But it was, you know, all right, according to the map, we're going to go this way. There's going to be this coming up here. Now we have GPS, don't we? Do we even have a map in the car anymore, honey? She's not sure. I'm going to say no, okay? Because we have technology that is up to date, hopefully, right? And so we don't use those things anymore. How many of you have a phone book at home and still use it? Not as a doorstop. How many of you have a phone book stored away in some drawer and you may or may not know where that is? How many of you have a dictionary that you regularly pull out and look up words for how to spell something? Because all of those things, now what we can do, we can either, the same thing, just about all those things, we can go to our phone. Yeah, I mean, I don't trust this, but you can even talk to your phone and ask the phone a question, right? You know, Siri, phone, what? How do you spell whatever? If you have a strong Texas accent, you can come up with all kinds of things on that one, right? I would rather type it in, get a little bit closer on that one. But so technology has made it so that we've outgrown some different things, hasn't it? How many of you remember manually changing the channels on your TV? Okay. How many of you were like me, and at least in the beginning, you grew up being, before there was a remote control, you were the human remote control. That's what children, one of the a task of a child, was to stand at the TV and dad or whoever barks out, "Try that one." Not that there was a lot of channels to turn to. Okay. We could chase that one for a while, couldn't we? How many of you played the game in your house where, or now we do this, right? We're so remote control dependent. If the remote control disappears in the house, it's absolute chaos, isn't it? We turn into cavemen and it's a survival episode, right? We can't find it. No longer are we using words. We're just tearing through the house. We're lifting things up. It makes me think of a parable. You remember in Luke 15, one of the three lost things that Jesus tells. You have the lost sheep. You have a lost coin story. I mean, if we wanted to modernize that one, we could have the parable of the lost remote, right? Dad's looking all through the couch cushions. He's calling the children around. Everybody, stop what you're doing right now. Find the remote that's been lost. And when it's found, he gathers all of his children together. He calls his neighbors, "Come celebrate with me. I found the remote that was lost, and now it's found." And let me tell you why this is a big deal now, because none of us know how to operate a TV, and some of them can't be operated. You can't even find the buttons, right, on a TV now. Some of them are absolutely made so that you have to have the remote, right? So your house probably has maybe something like this where you try to keep up with where those things are. Because we've outgrown those older ways of doing things. But as society has advanced and we become more and more enabled to do things ourselves that we used to not be able to do before, as technology has allowed us, what about your prayer life? Have we outgrown it? Go back to that traveling analogy again. I bet you used to pray a lot, especially if you felt unsure of where you were going, and you were, and so prayer might have been the other companion right beside your map. But as we become more certain about ourselves, or about our journey, or whatever it is, and we become more sure of ourselves, we start to push those, "I appreciate it, Lord, but I don't think I'm going to need you. I think I've got this." And so our dependency to call out to God. Maybe that's changed for some of us. Or maybe the need is still there, but you don't know what to say, and you don't know if God wants to hear you. Jesus prayed, the King of the universe, prayed to the Father. The one in whom God dwelled, in whom they were one, Father and Son and Spirit, all one. Jesus, greater than any human being that's ever walked the earth, regularly prayed. In fact, Luke, more than any other gospel writer, records for us how much this discipline and this practice was a regular part of Jesus' life. Notice these different instances and moments in Jesus' life here. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Yeah, look how Luke emphasizes Jesus' prayer life. You remember the other gospel writers record how the Spirit descended on Jesus as a dove whenever he was baptized. Luke tells us that Jesus was in prayer. Interesting. Jesus was praying when this happened. He tells us that he often withdrew to lonely places in 5:16. Before he called his disciples, you know, whenever you had a significant decisions or significant things that were in front of him, he would pray. He prays before he calls the disciples. He prayed before Peter's confession. He prayed before the great transfiguration. He prayed so fervently, Luke tells us, in Gethsemane, that Jesus prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood. Did Jesus pray? Yes, he prayed. Luke records twice Jesus praying while he was hanging and dying on the cross. And then Luke records the resurrected Jesus on the road to Emmaus whenever he's with the two disciples. And when they reach Emmaus, Jesus takes the bread. They have the meal together at Emmaus, and he prays with them. And it's in that moment, as Jesus is blessing the bread, that the two disciples' eyes are open and they realize that the stranger that was amongst them is Jesus. Jesus was praying when that happened. Jesus prayed all the time. Jesus would interrupt his schedule in order to remove himself, even from the busy. I know your life is busy. I know people are counting on you all the time. I know that whenever tomorrow rolls around, you've got just a stack, especially students, teachers. Your time is just squeezed, isn't it? And it's so easy to say, I've got so many things to do. I just don't have time to pray. People's lives were hanging in the balance with Jesus. It was a matter of life and death with Jesus. He was casting out demons. He was healing sick village to village, and yet he still relied and intentionally found continual time to retreat and be with God in prayer. In fact, I think we could take Luke's structure here and be able to say in full confidence that Jesus relied on prayer for everything else that He would do on earth. Do you believe that? Look at it. Prayer becomes the spark. Prayer becomes His source of power and strength and energy, so that very clearly the way that Jesus is doing all the things that Jesus is doing is because He's relying on God, and all of it that He's entering into, He's entering into because He's already prayed about it. And so He's able to move forward with confidence. And so the question to us, if God's own Son needed to pray, how much more all of us? And so Jesus gives a prayer here. This is great. You'll notice that it's a little different. This model prayer is a little different than what we, the Lord's Prayer, as we commonly call it in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Go ahead and bring that next slide up there. You see, it's a little bit shorter, isn't it? It's a little bit more simple. It's a little more direct. Maybe at first glance you didn't notice that these were different prayers, but they are. Luke kind of, he slims it down here. But he gives them this prayer, doesn't he? And it comes out of this context of need, because the disciples approach Jesus with this request. Jesus is praying, and they see Him praying. And they say to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Right? And so that's actually the background of this model prayer that Jesus gives, is out of a request, out of a need. Teach us to pray just as John taught His disciples to pray. Lord, how do You want us to pray as Your followers, as Your community? And so we can think about this prayer and also the Lord's Prayer as kind of a model. This is the prayer of the community of Jesus followers. This is what we're about. And you can use this as a daily prayer, but it's even more than that, isn't it? It becomes for us an aid and a help in knowing how do I start to bring the words? And it's not the words, is it? If it was all about long, flowy words here, Jesus would have offered a lot more. But it's kind of this compact need and cry to God. And even in your own prayer life, it may be simple words that you have to offer to God. God knows. God wants to help us in our prayer life. And so He gives us these words. You know that the Bible is filled with prayers for us. If you are struggling with prayer, the Bible is filled with prayers. You can take Psalms, or you can take the Lord's Prayer, you can take these passages of Scripture and pray them as your prayer, because more than the words, what makes something prayer? It's the heart that it's coming from, isn't it? That's why when someone stands up here in front of us, you know, when someone leads us in a prayer, is it just them who are praying? Is it just the individual speaker? Or is it the church that's praying as we join that? Our hearts join in this community prayer. And so Christ gives His church, gives His followers, His community, a prayer here. And it does join our hearts in this. But here's the most beautiful part, and the part I love the most about this. He says, "Say, Father, when you pray, say, Father." Show the next slide there. This is powerful. This is so powerful, church. There are so many different words for God in Scripture. Remember whenever Moses encounters God on the mountain in Exodus chapter 3, and one of his big questions whenever God is giving him this task to go back to Egypt and go before Pharaoh and bring this request, his big question from God is, who do I say you are? Who do I say has this idea and then has sent me? What's your name? And God's response to him, kind of isn't all that helpful because it's very nebulous. It's, I am. Say that I am has sent you. No wonder people thought Moses was a few lambs short of a herd there, right? Tell him I am. There's so many names for God because we can't just nail him down with one thing. He's the I am with Abraham, and in Genesis, he's the Most High, right? He has so many different names. And so Jesus could have pulled through the full gamut of options for names to give to his followers to pray. But he goes a little bit of a different direction here. He goes very personal here. And he says, say, Father. Say, Father. There's a reason why I had this stage this way, and it's going to be this way the next couple of weeks. It wasn't for the remote controls. In fact, this was a false... If you had the image that this was a living room, you just got fooled, okay? This is actually my dad's room. My dad's room. Because I could show you, if we traveled there right now, first of all, he wouldn't be at church, okay? But if we went in there right now, my dad's bed would be right here. But this is the chair. This is the chair where I watched him growing up do a lot of Bible study. This is the chair where I watched my dad pray. This is the chair where when I was 12 years old, this chair... Okay, I need to be honest again. I borrowed this chair. The idea of this chair, okay? Is where I saw my dad cry for the very first time when I was 12 years old because he was sitting here when he got the phone call that my grandfather had passed away. My dad's a tough guy. He's 12 years old. Never seen him cry before. And as a kid, when you see... your big, tough, strong dad cry, you go, whoa. This is different. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. Now, there's a special name that Jesus has for Father. Mark records the term Abba Father in Mark chapter 14 when he's praying in Gethsemane. And in Mark's gospel, he prays, Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Please let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. He cried out in the same words that he would have said before he had the ability to speak, that early word for dad, that a baby would cry out in Aramaic, Abba. That's the cry that Jesus had in Gethsemane. That's the cry that the church is encouraged to lift up as the Holy Spirit is in you, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. The name, the Spirit of God cries out from our lips and from our hearts when we go to God in prayer is to be able to approach Him as Abba Father. Do you remember when you learned how to talk to your dad? How did you learn how to talk to your dad? Did you think to yourself, wow, if I'm going to talk to dad, I've got to figure out a good way to phrase all of this. It needs to be eloquent. It needs to be grammatical. No. Do you remember your first words? Let me tell you how you first talked to dad. You started crying, right? You started, a baby maybe is reaching out to daddy. You whimpered. You smiled. And when you smiled, you lit up his life, right? You laughed. You cried. you grunted, all of those different things. We have language, or we have a way to communicate before we have all of our vocabulary. And Jesus reaches back to that most familial, not formal, of words to offer to His followers to say, this is how you pray. Say, Father. Now I know that this word may need some baggage to be unpacked in your life, because if your example doesn't resonate with the one that I shared with you about dad prays and dad studies God's word and dad is the one leading the family to church. If that picture doesn't fit what you understand of dad, if dad for you fits more with something of absence or neglect or abuse, we've got to unpack that. I have a friend of mine, Ian, who told me fairly recently that he never heard his dad say the words to him, I love you, and it hurt. Because he heard a lot of other things. Can I help you unpack the name of God as Father for you to know that who I'm talking about when I say that He is your Father in heaven? And what we mean by that is He is the one who treasures you and loves you like no one else ever can. He's the one who says that I love you so much that I give my one and only Son that you can have life eternal with me. He's Abba, Father. And so the way we approach God in prayer is not with some kind of great eloquence, not with some kind of beautiful grammar or well-structured planning in your prayers and all of those kinds of things that can become almost so burdensome that you go, you know what? I'm not good enough to pray. He doesn't want to hear what I have to say. I'm trying to talk to you right now to encourage you to say, just come to Him with your heart and cry out to Him as Daddy or as Abba, Father, and know that He is listening and He loves you and He cares. He cares about the contents of your heart. And so when you think about approaching God's throne in prayer, yes, He is all of those things. He's all of those things. He is high and lifted up. But Jesus brings Him down here to us and says, and He is ours. He is our Father. We are His beloved. We're going to have a song played at this time. Those of you, maybe if you've never heard it before, I want to encourage you to listen to the words. It's called Good, Good Father. Please hear these words. If you've heard it before, listen again and pay attention to the great message in this song.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Many searching for answers, far and wide. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, to us.
He is a good, good Father, and He longs for you as only a good Father can. He longs for you as His beloved daughters and sons. We're going to offer an invitation at this time. If you are a child of God, a Christian that is struggling and needing prayer this morning, we believe in prayer, and we want to pray for you this morning. We will have elders up here in just a moment. If you're wanting to learn more about this church, learn more about baptism, we encourage you to talk to us this morning. If you have a need of any kind, you can come right now. Let's stand together.